I promise to let you out by 12 o'clock, Los Angeles time. Well, how many had settled for Tucson at the same time? But anyhow, Albuquerque. Get a few more on that. All right. Well, at least they're just 1 hour behind. But anyhow, we'll look into God's Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to get the directive that God wants for this week. We've been praying and believing God for this week that God will visit us and pour out His Spirit upon our lives, believing God for great things to happen. The Lord willing, tomorrow night, I'm going to be preaching on why some folk never come to revival on Monday. Hello? Maybe I ought to preach that tonight. Why some folk never come on Monday night. Have you ever wondered? Boy, I did. 27 years of pastoring, I wondered about why some folk never showed up on Monday night. We've got some folk that never come on Sunday night either. You'll find out about them tonight. In fact, I may talk about them this morning. But anyhow, we'll look into God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. First of all, let us read in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. I love this verse. When I'm discouraged, I read this verse as a preacher. Send to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. You say, why do you read that verse? It's because God has not forgotten where his personnel is. Hello? Sometimes, preacher, we get to feeling like God's forgot our address. And this lets us know that God knows where his preachers are. He said, I've got one servant over there named Simon, whose surname is Peter, lodging at the house of Simon the tanner. He knew about his occupation and he knew his address on Seashore Boulevard. Woo! And I've got a servant over there and I'll talk to him. I love that when I get discouraged. I get to reading that because I remember God still knows where I am. Oh, praise God. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. That's where I'd like to dwell this morning for a little while, but I want to get the directive from 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. But I want you to notice he said, we are all here. Now, some folk have never thought we Pentecostals were all here. But we are. We've got Scripture to prove it. Amen. We are all here, present before God, to hear all things commanded thee of God. How many want this week to be commanded by God? How many are ready for a week of revival where God is moving and God is giving the command? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 simply says 4 words. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. This morning we look into the Word of God and realize that God's Spirit has a directive for this week. How many like to let God have His way? How many like to be in a revival where the Holy Ghost had His way? How many want to be back tonight if the Holy Ghost is going to have His way? How many want to be back tomorrow night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and every night this week if the Holy Ghost is going to have it? Now, if we're just going to have a demonstration of the flesh, and it's going to be flesh ministering to flesh, there's not too much appeal. You can stay home and watch the tube and get that. Hello? You can Go down to Joe's Bar and Grill and get flesh, ministering to flesh. But if you're going to have a Holy Ghost move, we're going to have to let the Holy Ghost have His way.
Amen.
And let the Holy Spirit move in our hearts and let it have its total right away in our heart. Have you ever thought, what if the Holy Ghost had His way 1 week at Calvary Assembly of God? Boy, if the Holy Ghost is going to have His way, I want to be there.
Yes, sir.
Woo, hallelujah. I want to be in the midst of what God is doing and what God has for us today. And you ever thought about the what if the Holy Ghost had His way? What if everybody prayed? Can you imagine what kind of service we'd have tonight if everybody here this morning showed up at 6:30 tonight and prayed till 7 o'clock? How many believe that that would help the service? How many believe it would help the Holy Ghost have His way? Then how many believe we ought to be here? Glory. What if everyone obeyed what the Holy Ghost told them to do this week? What if when the Holy Ghost said, get out of bed and pray, people got up and got out beside their bed and started praying? What if the Holy Ghost said, I want you to call nephew so-and-so, and I want you to call your sister, and I want you to call your brother, and I want you to call your family, and I want you to talk to them about their soul? And they started hearing, because if God's talking to you, He's talking to them. Hello? I said, if God's speaking to you about it, He's talking to them about it. What if every person that needed to be baptized and the Holy Ghost was filled this week?
Amen.
Starting with what's here now. You see, if what's here now starts getting the Holy Ghost, you'll never be able to shut this thing down in 1 week. Because if the Holy Ghost starts moving, it gets contagious.
That's right.
Woo! Everybody wants to get some. Everybody wants to get in. What if everyone came to revival? Wouldn't it be great, Pastor, to have one revival where everybody came? Ooh, you say, now, just a minute now, I've got to work Tuesday night. We understand that. It's the fact that we don't understand is it takes five people to watch Johnny have a headache Monday night that he didn't know he had till he got to the supper table. Hello? Repeat after me. I love Brother Brinkle. Don't forget that all week. All right. What if everyone gave? Wouldn't it be marvelous if everybody in the church started tithing? Woo!
Well, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Pastor.
But I pastored long enough to know that everybody that comes to church don't tithe. Some folks are just hitchhikers who come along and they want to ride on other folks' gas. But if the Holy Ghost has His way, everybody would be a tither.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, every Christian tithes. Hello? I said, every Christian tithes. Some folk give it willfully and cheerfully, and others God collects from. Every Christian is a tither. Some do it the way God intended, and others let God come collecting. And how many like collectors to come to your door?
No.
You don't like it when God has to collect it either, but it'll happen. All Christians tithe. You might as well give it to God and get the blessing. Hello? You say, well now, Brother Brinkle, you're starting out kind of tough this morning. Yeah, but I'm not going to be here next Sunday unless the Holy Ghost has His way. And I'm not trying to stay over next Sunday. I'm booked to be in Houston next Sunday. I'm not trying to do that. There's a large church in Houston and I'm supposed to be in next Sunday morning. But I'm talking about if the Holy Ghost has His way, we're going to see God move by His Spirit.
Amen.
Some folks say, well now, Brother Brinkle, I just don't feel like revival this week. I just don't feel revival. Well, you can't always depend on feelings. My mom cooked cabbage when I was a kid. And I never did feel like eating cabbage. How many believe I ate some? Yes, I did. If you got a name like mine, Brankle, and you got crowd heads for father and mother, and they're German, they're going to serve that cabbage on that table. You're going to eat it in coleslaw. You're going to eat it boiled. You're going to eat it stuffed. You're going to eat it in stew. You're going to... Oh, yes. You're going to eat it every which way. You're going to have kraut. Oh, dear God. But anyhow, you're going to have... I didn't mind the weenies. It was them kraut I didn't like. I did not like cabbage. My mother said, son, Jimmy Dale, isn't it amazing how in Oklahoma and West Texas everybody's got two names? I came down through the country and I saw it said Jim Bob Nelson running. I thought he ought to be elected. He's got two wonderful first names. Jimmy Dale, she'd say, you are going to eat some cabbage. And I'd say, I don't like cabbage. But you're going to eat some cabbage. But I don't want any cabbage. It don't taste good, and it's rotten. But Jimmy Dale, you are going to eat some cabbage. Now, my mom was about 5'7", weighed about 250 pounds. And when she said, you're going to eat cabbage, you are going to have some cabbage. She can hold your nose, stuff it in, I'd chew it up. Act like I swallowed, but stick it in my jaw. Go outside and go, yuck. I didn't like cabbage. I didn't feel like eating cabbage. But Mom Brankle said, you're going to eat some cabbage. And Paul Brankle enforced what Mom Brankle said. And so I had to have cabbage. Long about, you know, it wasn't fair. Jimmy Dale, if you're going to eat any lemon meringue pie, and you're going to have any peach cobbler, or you're going to have any cherry cobbler, or you're going to eat any of these, my favorite desserts, she'd say, if you're going to have any of them, you're going to eat cabbage. And I'd say, that's not fair. Lemon meringue pie, peach cobbler, cherry cobbler came from heaven. That cabbage came from the other place. And it stinks. But along about 15, somewhere along 12, 15, something happened to cabbage. They got a new brand. I don't know what happened, but it didn't taste good, but it didn't taste bad. Along about 18, it started tasting better and not bad. Along about the time I got about 21, 22, 23, somewhere along in there, cabbage changed totally. I began to like cabbage. I begin to eat it. When I go to Furs, I'd pick out cabbage. And I got to where I like cabbage. And today, I love cabbage. I just love cabbage. In fact, today, I don't know where we're going to eat, but the pastor already told me he's going to eat somewhere, and that'll make me preach shorter. I think that's why he told me. But anyhow, he said, you look at me and realize I love to eat. I just barely get between my arms this morning. And so, if today, I don't know where we're going to eat, but if they've got a big old bowl of cabbage over here and a great big steak over here, and I have to choose between the two, I'd eat them both. How many believe that? Glory. Reason is, it's my second day of my diet, and I love that day. That's when I'm off of it. But you see, if you don't feel like revival, that make a difference. The Holy Ghost wants to bring revival. But I don't feel like it. Some folk only serve God on feeling. Can I walk with this? Yeah. Some folk don't feel like revival. Some folk don't want revival. How many ever saw that bumper sticker on the back of somebody's car that said, if it feels good, do it? Have you seen that? Did it make you mad? Did me. Oh, it made me mad. I got so mad. I thought them lousy perverts. Hello? I said them lousy perverts. out promoting, if it feels good, do it. And they promote homosexuality. They promote pornography. And they promote lasciviousness. And they promote free sex. And you don't need to get married. You don't need to do anything. You just go out and live like an old beast and live like an animal. And all that. And I got redheaded. Not only that, it began to raise up on the back of my neck. I thought, you sorry outfits out promoting, put bumpers. Who kind of a person would put a bumper sticker on the back of their car? If it feels good, do it. Then I realized, Pastor, at that time I was pastoring, and I said, that's how half the folk come to First Assembly of God Church in Greeley, Colorado. If it feels good, do it. If I feel like going to church, I go to church. If I don't feel like going to church, I don't darken the door. Hello, I like it better down here than I do up there. Daddy taught me not to shoot until you see the whites of their eyes, and I can see them better down here. Don't even have my bifocals. But anyhow, you see, some folk only serve God by feeling. If it feels good, they sing. If you sing anyhow, you'll start feeling good. How many believe that? Glory. You see, some folk only serve God if it feels good. If I like what the preacher said Sunday, I'll put my tithe in next Sunday. But if he stepped on my toes and told me I need to pray through and repent, button this thing up, I ain't getting it back out. Hold her hand in her pocket and not be sure a dime don't get out. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like preaching. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like singing. Well, fact, faith, and feeling walked on a wall. Feeling was the first to fall. Faith fell too, but fact picked up faith, and feeling came back too. Hello? Did you follow that? I'm glad you did. Glory. I'm looking for this guy over here. I'm going to wrestle this guy after church. I want his red coat. But anyhow... After OU wins, everybody ought to wear a red coat. But anyhow, hey, man, I like that. Don't let your wife talk you out of that. That's a good-looking coat. But anyhow, I want to tell you folk this morning that some folk just serve God or go to revival if they feel like it. But if the Holy Ghost has his way, the feeling will be there. How many believe when the Holy Ghost comes and touches your life, he'll fill your life with joy? How many remember when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got some joy to go with it? And if you didn't get any joy, you need to get my kind. My kind to put joy in your soul. Well, some folk, I've met some people that are so disappointed. They're so disappointed. Said, I guess I got the Holy Ghost. I got those tongues. So they said, repeat after me. And I did. And I guess I got it. They didn't get it. Hello? Because if repeat after me can get you the baptism, your parrot can get it. And your parent can have the baptism too if repeat after me and get it. It's not repeat after me. It's a baptism of joy. It's a baptism of love. It makes you want to hug everybody's neck. It makes everybody's face look like a full moon. It don't matter if they've been weaned on sauerkraut juice. They look good when you're full of the Holy Ghost. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, you've got love in your heart. You want to put your arms around somebody's neck and hug their neck and thank God and love them because the Holy Ghost puts it in there. Woo, hallelujah. And it puts love and it puts joy and it'll put you loving Jesus more than you ever loved him before in your life. You will begin to love Jesus more than you ever loved him in your life. And you'll start praising him and lifting your hands and loving Jesus. Did you know it's just as natural for a Holy Ghost filled person to raise their hands and praise God as it is for a goose to go barefooted? Hello? I said it's just as natural because if you get full of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost has his way, you're going to be running over. You're going to have an overflow. You're going to have an experience that God will visit your life with, and you can have it. Cornelius was down praying. He was saying, God, there's got to be more to church than what I'm getting out of it. Have you ever gone home feeling that way? There's got to be more to church than what I got out of it today. Of course, some folk never come expecting anything. Kind of like the family that came, you know, and The man left out, and when he got in his car, he said, I never had any theological training, but if I couldn't beat what the preacher did this morning, I'd quit. The mother said, well, I'll tell you, I never heard so many sour notes hit by the singers in my life. Musicians, they hit so many sour notes. Said, I don't, it looks like they could stop that. Little girl said, that's the snottiest bunch I ever saw. There wasn't a boy there spoke to me. Little boy piped up in the back seat and said, I want to tell you folks, I thought it was a pretty good show for a quarter.
Hello.
Natives are restless. But anyhow, how many believe we're going to have fun this week? You sourpusses, come on back. You love it. We're going to have a good time, enjoying God's blessing. Because Cornelius was praying and saying, God, there's got to be more to church than what I've got out of it. I've given. In fact, the angel said to him, Cornelius, a memorial has been made in heaven over your giving. Now, I don't see any around here, but most churches I go into got brass plaques on the every end of every pew in memory of Brother so-and-so, in loving memory of Sister so-and-so, in loving... And the communion table, it's got a brass plaque on it, said in loving memory. Don't ever say in remembrance of Jesus, but it's always in remembrance of somebody dead. They have memorials to the dead folks. And old Cornelius is still alive, and heaven's already put a brass plaque up. There's already a memorial been made in heaven over your giving. But there's more to going to church than getting your pocketbook out. You can't buy the blessings of God in heaven in your soul. You may feel better for giving, and you may like it, and Uncle Sam may let you count it off on your tax, but it won't bring the blessing of God. And Cornelius said, I've got to have more than what putting in the offering plate will do for me. I've got to have more than what mowing the widow's grass down there and sending a private so-and-so down there and putting shoes on little kids' feet. I've got to have more than that. God, I long for reality. And when he cried for reality, hallelujah, God sent an angel down to meet him. And when he sent an angel down to meet him, he said, Cornelius, send over to Joppa. I've got a servant over there who's ready to preach to you. Hallelujah. And when Peter got to his house, and there they were, all of his near kin folks and friends lined up. Could you imagine the parking lot out there down the street in front of old Brother Cornelius' house, all them Democrats lined up and tied to every post? Hello? They all rode Democrats. They rode donkeys. But anyhow, there weren't any Republicans in that land. They were in Africa. But anyhow, hello? Some of you won't catch that till next week. You that are Polish, come around and I'll tell it real slow. But anyhow, and to the Texas Aggies. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say is, Cornelius is sitting there in his living room with all of his friends and kinfolks in, and he said to Peter, we are all present before God. Oh, I love that. Ready to hear. You see, Cornelius, he recognized this is the visitation God has for my home. God has this meeting for my family. God sent Peter here for me to have a revival in my soul. Hallelujah. We're present, brother, when you recognize that this week is the week God has given us for revival. I said, this is God's week for revival. Put everything else aside and let's have revival, because this is God's visitation and this is God's hour and this is God's time to visit us with an old-fashioned Holy Ghost downpour that'll bless your children and touch their lives. You see, there's a crowd in town in Lawton, Oklahoma that don't care whether we have revival or not. They don't care whether your kids go to heaven or not. There's a crowd in town that'll turn your kids into alcoholics. Hello? They'll turn your kids into alcoholics. They'll turn them into junkies and using dope. They don't care if they scramble your kids' brains. They don't care if they make alcoholics out of it. You say, well, I don't know whether I trust you yet or not, preacher. You better trust me. God sent me here this week to preach to you. Are you ready to hear? I said, are you ready to hear? Is this your hour? This your day? You see, God has given us this hour. There's a crowd in this world that don't care. The humanists that are filling the public school classrooms, and thank God for spirit-filled, saved teachers that are in some of them. But most of them are ruled by the humanist crowd today that wants to tell your kids that you're nothing but an animal, and if it feels good, you do it, and if you're a biological functioning being, and that's all you are. But I stand here as a man of God to tell you that you have a soul, and you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account, and you're going to have to stand before Him, and you're not a dog, and you're not a cow, and you're not a sheep, and you're not a mule. You're a person in the kingdom of God that's important enough. He sent His Son to die for you, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and this is your hour. This is your day. Hello? Well, you say there's so many phony preachers around today. You know, I know where there's bound to be a few phonies. Jesus called 12, and one of them turned out bad. Hello? Sitting here this morning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's liable to be a few here. Jesus in His calling had 1 out of 12. There's probably a few here. And you say, yeah, and I know who they are. You keep your mouth shut. If the Holy Ghost has His way, they'll be prayed through before the week's out. Hello? Oh, glory. But you see, the beer drinking crowd, they don't care if your kids are turned into alcoholics. You know what the biggest phony I've ever heard of is? Anheuser-Busch, the company that makes Budweiser. And the devil lies about that. It makes Bud dumber. It don't make him wiser. But the company that makes that makes Michelob. And I can tell you now, honey, if it's Michelob where you're going, you ain't going with me. Hello? Glory. I'm just kind of old-fashioned about that. I still believe that him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Glory. But you know what? The paper, the St. Louis Globe Democrat, lauded Anheuser-Busch for doing this thing. They built an alcoholic rehab center in St. Louis. Now that's phony. They'll spend $1 million a minute to put their commercials in your living rooms during the Super Bowl and then build a rehab center, and the wonderful journalists laud them to the sky. Isn't it wonderful that Anheuser-Busch is building an alcoholic rehab center? Come drink more of our slop so we can make a rehab out of you. Now that's phony. Whew. Hello? Glory. But you see, that crowd don't care if they send your kids to hell. They don't care if they laugh your kids on the street corner and at the school, if they don't smoke a joint, and if they don't have a drinking party every Friday night, and they don't care if what they do to them, and they don't care. Well, I'll tell you something else. The folks that don't think enough of this revival to come don't care either. I said, if you care, and the Holy Ghost has His way, you're going to be here and have your young people here and have your kids here. You say, well, Brother Branko, they got to do their homework. I can tell you now, I went to revival as a young person and went 6 weeks at a time to revival every night. We didn't let out on Saturday night in those days, and went 6 weeks at a time. And I graduated third or fourth in my class as vice president, and it didn't hurt me much and didn't stunt my growth. The reason you want to hide behind putting your kids to bed early is because you don't want revival. If you want it, you'll be here, and you'll have your kids in the altar, and you'll find them praying through and seeking God and getting saved, getting the Holy Ghost, and then you won't care what time of morning it is when you go home. If they're full of the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues, it won't matter. Johnny will do better to school the next day than he did the day before if he's saved and on fire, and he'll have something to hold him when the crowd's trying to laugh him into being a junkie and laugh him into smoking a joint and drinking out and having a party and making out at a party on Friday night. We need revival. Can you say amen? Lord, give us revival. Cornelius said, we're ready to hear. We're ready to hear. What do we want to hear? What Dr. Sounding Brass has to say about the scriptures? No. Nobody's interested in what Dr. Sounding Brass has got to say.
That's why they got empty churches, and the bells on their churches go gone dry every Sunday morning. Hello? Did you ever listen to some of them old church bells on Sunday morning? Gone dry, gone dry, gone dry. Hello? God, give us a Holy Ghost revival. That makes us want revival more than we want to sit at home in our lazy boy recliner. More than we want anything else. We've got to have revival for our kids. We've got to have revival for this generation that's arising today. They've got to have revival, and they need to know the power of God, and they need to go home out of the church house talking in tongues, so you have to lead them to the car and put them to bed and get an experience they won't forget, so that when the devil comes around to tempt them, they'll remember a night at a revival meeting when God touched their souls and tied them to Calvary, and they'll no longer be able to be taken in and hornswoggled by Satan. But thank God they'll have something to hold them, and revival will hold them. Hello? Glory. Whew. Hallelujah. How many love Jesus this morning? He said, we're ready to hear. What are we going to hear? What the things that God hath commanded thee. You know what happened that after that kind of an attitude? That kind of a cry from the pulpit, from the pew. That cry that rose up from the pew and said, preacher, we're all here, present before God. This is our day. Glory. We're ready to hear what the Lord hath commanded thee. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost followed that. And as Peter said, while I spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like we were on the day of Pentecost. God knows the answer to this hour. The answer to the 80s is a Holy Ghost revival. Oh, a Holy Ghost revival. God, send it this morning. Visit us this week with the Holy Spirit. Touch us with the presence and power of God. I ask in Jesus' name. We'll praise you and thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would visit us and touch us with the Holy Ghost revival and touch our lives with His presence and power. Glory to the Lamb forever. While heads are bowed right where you're standing, how many would just confess a need before God and say, Brother Brankle, I may be a member of this church. You may be a member. You may not be a member. You may have been a Christian for years. But this morning you'd confess before God, I need a revival in my soul. Slip your hand up right now. Slip your hand up right where you're at. I need revival in my soul. Oh, God, touch these this morning. Thank you for hungry hearts. But Lord, there are probably those that need revival worse than these that lifted their hands, but though among those who did not. But because of coldness and indifference, and because they've let the pleasures of this world and the things of this world and coldness come in, and they've let a crust come over their spirit, and they're no longer sensitive to the mood and the mind of the spirit, break through that crust this morning, God. Bring us revival, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to know how many are ready to commit yourself to revival this week. That says, for me and my house, revival is going to have priority this week. I'm going to believe God with you, Brother Brankle. I'm going to believe God. I want you to step out and meet me right here, and let's agree together. I want everybody that's going to make revival their priorities this week and believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you say, well, I've got to work. I can't be every night. I don't mean you can't make revival your priority. That you can come and stand. Come on up close here. Don't make people stand back. I want folks that are here. I want people that are here this morning to come and stand and make a commitment to this revival that says, yes, I'm ready to commit to God. I'm ready to give it all to Jesus. Come on around in front of the altars if you don't mind. Come on in. I don't want people to have to stand down the aisles. You need revival in your soul. You need revival in your family. You need revival in your church. Let God touch you this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. God's here. God's in this place. Mom and Dad, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something this morning. There's nothing more important than revival right now. Amen. Now I know summer's over. Season is past. But if you spent this last summer taking your kid on Wednesday night to play T-ball or Little League ball. There's nothing wrong with either one of them. My kids played them all. Not a thing wrong with them. But if you missed Wednesday night services taking your kids out this summer, you've already taught your kids that it's more important to play Little League ball and T-ball than it is to go to church. Hello? I said you've already taught that kid that it's more important to do what you want to do than it is to go to the house of God. Come on. If on Sunday night you're comfortable sitting home while the pastor and the church and the deacons are having church and you can sit there comfortable, you've already made priorities in your life that said church and revival is not important. Hello? Come on now. That's straight, but that's the way it is. I'm not running for office. There's not going to be any runoff this next week for evangelist. I'm already elected by the Holy Ghost just to be one. So I don't really care whether you like me or not. I hope you do. I like to be liked. This lady here likes me and my kids like me and I hope you do. At least she did the last time I checked. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here to try to soothe you and make friends, model coddle you and all that. I'm here this week to stir you up and make you become dissatisfied on the spiritual plane you've been living on. My job this week's to make you climb one rung higher. Get a limb above you when I saw the one off you're standing on. And let's get a hold of things a little higher in God and believe God for revival. How many are ready to dedicate for revival right now? Make your dedication to God. Say, God, this is the week the Holy Ghost is going to have his way in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just your servants. You're the sovereign. We're just your servants. God, we put it all in your hands this morning. This revival is your revival. This church is your church. You said, I'll build it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is your pastor, Lord. This is your congregation. This is a congregation of the Lord. And God, today, I come now ready to give ourselves some revival this week to believe God for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to touch our lives. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Shandra Baba Bokosatara Baba Rie, Riba Baba Kusila Baba Baba Ria Sandra Bebekoya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hearts and voices to God. Let's lift our hands and voices to the Lord and begin to love Him and say, God, revive us again that Thy people may rejoice in Thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. God, give us a Holy Ghost revival. Give us a Holy Ghost revival. Give us a Holy Ghost revival this morning. God, we're waiting on you for a Holy Ghost move. Lord, we're all here, present before God, ready, Lord, to hear what you're saying, ready to hear the word. Lord, this is our week. This is our time. This is our day. Send us revival, oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Praise our God. Praise our God. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. There was a crowd gathered round from all over town. They came to see what it was all about. There was a sound that came down from the upper room where the Holy Ghost was being poured out. It sounded just like the roar of a mighty wind as it fell on every one of them. And the wind that blew at Pentecost, praise God, it's blowing again. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. There was a crowd gathered round from all over town. They came to see what it was all about. There was a sound that came down from the upper room where the Holy Ghost was being poured out. It sounded just like the roar of a mighty wind as it fell on every one of them. And the wind that blew at Pentecost, praise God, it's blowing again. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind of God is blowing through the world today, just like the prophet Joel said it would do.
For Peter said on the day of Pentecost, for you and your children too. So open up your heart and let the wind blow in. You will never, never be the same again. Oh, the wind that blew at Pentecost, praise God, it's blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Sing it. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again.
Oh, hallelujah. How many know somebody? How many know somebody that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You know somebody? Lift your hands right now if you know somebody that needs a baptism. How many believe God together with us that those folk will get the Holy Ghost this week? How many? Let's pray and believe God. Right? Let's agree. How many might believe the Word of God that said if two or three agree, touching any one thing? How many believe God right now the Lord is going to baptize? Let's agree together. Let's pray about it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hold upon the eternal word of faith that believes, God, today for these to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and to be touched with the presence of God this week in revival, we ask in Jesus' name. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now how many know some backsliders that need to get in and get back in church and get back to God? How many know some backsliders? Lift your hands up right now. Not very many of us don't know some backsliders need to get in. Let's believe God for them right now. Not only do I want you to pray for them, I want you to call them this afternoon and say, I prayed for you this morning in my church. So we're going to pray together right now for them first people. And I want you to call them this afternoon and say, I prayed for you this morning. There's nothing touches the heart of a person than somebody praying for them. And say, I called your name in prayer this morning, and I'm believing God for God to bring you back to Jesus. And I just prayed for you. Will you pray with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to touch these backsliders. These that are cold and indifferent. Their fellowship is broken. They're out of tune with heaven. God, I pray this morning that the power of the Holy Ghost will touch their hearts and move upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. We shall praise you, Lord, and thank you for revival that's on its way. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you got unsaved kids that you want to see brought in? Let me see these hands. God love you this morning. I'm going to tell you as a parent who went through the most heartbreaking thing I've ever gone through in my life. I can tell you now that I walked a path in the carpet in the church where I pastored in Quincy, Illinois. And it was brand new carpet. I walked a path in that carpet that cannot be vacuumed out, praying for my boy who was lost and away from God. But I can tell you now, he's saved. When I was walking that path in the carpet, I didn't even know where he was. He's disappeared totally for 15 months. I didn't know he was dead or alive. And I wore a path till 3 o'clock one morning. The Holy Ghost talked to me and touched my heart and life. Are you ready to hear me? I said, he touched my life. 3 o'clock one morning in the church, pacing that floor back and forth, crying, God, where's my boy? God, help me find him and help me to win him back to you. God, get his faith back where it ought to be. Get him back in the fold. God, I didn't raise that boy to be lost. I raised him for you. 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Ghost stopped me and said, Jim Rankle, you're still mad at your boy and you're still angry. You've never forgiven him. For disappearing. We hadn't had any argument. We hadn't had any fuss. He just dropped out. He decided to change lifestyles and leave it all behind. We hadn't had any big blow up. He and I grew up as buddies. It hurt twice as bad. We grew up together. It wasn't a dad and son that had a parting of ways and hard words. We'd never had any of that. We were the closest of buddies. We talked over the sports pages. We talked over the Bible. We talked over about everything that happened. We were buddies. By the hour, we were buddies. And now my buddy's gone. God said, Jim, you're still mad at your boy and you need to forgive him. That's why I haven't found him yet. It's because you still got this in your heart. I fell across the altar at 3 o'clock in the morning and begged God to forgive me for having hardness in my heart and letting the sun go down upon my wrath. And I said, God, I thank you today for my boy being gone. Because it took this to bring me here, and I'm sorry I'm so stubborn, and God forgive me. And heaven broke loose, and a camp meeting came into that sanctuary at 3 o'clock in the morning. About 5, I got through shouting. Went home, went to bed. In just a few days, I had him found. Glory to God. not because of a private detective or not because of something that the Holy Ghost found him.